Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
December the 22nd, we are in Sefer Daniel. We are up to Perek Dalad, chapter 4, right in the beginning of the Perek. Now, we're going to describe here an episode that happens in Nebuchadnezzar's life. It does not tell us when this happens. We're going to assume that everything here is chronological, in that whatever came beforehand really did come beforehand. So far we've had Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, and the interpretation by Daniel about that. We have the story with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being thrown into the fire. Now we're going to have another dream by Nebuchadnezzar, and the entire fourth chapter is devoted to this second dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And as I said, it's not clear when it happened. In other words, how many years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash did it happen? But this will be our last story involving Nebuchadnezzar. Once we get to Parakeh, the fifth chapter, we already move into one of his sons. We move ahead in the story of Golos Bavel, of the exile in Bavel. What's interesting about this Perek is it is told in the first person by Nebuchadnezzar. And that's striking, because obviously it's not Nebuchadnezzar's Nevuah, it's not his prophecy, it's the prophecy of Daniel. But it's told from the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar, which means Daniel got a Nevuah which was from the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's not shocking or surprising that a Nevuah is told in the first person. We have that sometimes. It's just rare. I'm using the word rare because I don't know if there's any other example, but it's not common. At least I'm not familiar with other examples where it's told in the first person of somebody else, where someone's telling the first person of somebody else, meaning that we have plenty of prophecy that is told in the third person about other people, even about other people who the prophet has never met before and will never meet. Moshe Rabbeinu has prophecy about Adam HaRishon, about Noach, about Avraham Avinu, about what they're thinking, about what they're doing, about their, that's all Moshe. What we have in the Torah is not the prophecy of Avraham Avinu, it's the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even when we read in the Torah, Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv, Yitzchak said to Avraham, his father, he says, Ayei haseh le'ola, where's the sheep for it to be brought as a sacrifice on for Akedas Yitzchak? He asked his father, where's the sheep? We have the wood, we have the fire, where's the sheep? So those words, when Yitzchak said them to his father, were not a prophecy. That was just Yitzchak talking to his father. That wasn't Nevuah, that wasn't a prophecy. It was a prophecy to Moshe that Yitzchak said those words to his father. So that's not unusual, that a Navi should quote somebody else. It's more than that. It goes beyond that. With the Torah, because remember, Moshe's Nevuah, Moshe's prophecy supersedes all other prophets. The prophecy of Torah is a greater prophecy than anything else. If someone had prophecy, so for example, when Avraham Avinu, let's do it this way. Let's talk about, let's say when Yosef has his dreams. Let's, for argument's sake, say those dreams are prophecy. That's Nevuah, Yosef's dreams. It's not, remember we talked about dreams, exactly where they fit in. It might not be actual Nevuah, it might be a step below it, but it's certainly some form of Nevuah, Yosef's dreams. When Yosef had the dreams, that was a lower level prophecy. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells over Yosef's dreams in the Torah, Moshe is relating what Yosef saw is Torah prophecy. It's a higher level of prophecy. It's a fascinating thing. What Yosef saw was actually a lower level prophecy. But Moshe telling us what Yosef saw is a much higher level prophecy. It's Torah. So the fact that one Navi can talk about what someone else is doing or said or is thinking or even getting prophecy, that's not a problem. That's we find all the time. But that a Nevuah is told from the first person perspective of somebody else, I don't have an example that leaps to mind in my own mind. That's all I'm pointing out over here. Yechezkel is told from the first person, but that's of the first person of Yechezkel. That's fine. But that it should be told from the first person of somebody else, that's unusual. That you have a whole chapter here which is told from the first person of Nebuchadnezzar, even if it's just reading the letter, because it could have just been Daniel would just tell over the story. The story is going to involve Daniel. It's going to involve him. He's going to know what's going on without the letter. So it's still an interesting thing that it's told from the first person of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this there are two possible explanations that come to my mind. There could be more. One is that this is just another indication of Nebuchadnezzar becoming the remember we talked about how there is a struggle over who is the center stage of history, where it was clear as long as there was a Beis HaMikdash that the Jewish people were the center stage of history. We know that that continues forever. We're always the center stage of history. But the non-Jews, the powers that took over the world, wanted to believe that they were the center stage of history. This would be yet another indication of Nebuchadnezzar asserting himself as being the main event. And as we'll see, being shot down as well. The other possibility that leaps to mind is that Nebuchadnezzar himself is growing and becoming more aware of Hashem. And as a result, he merits having a Nebuah told from his perspective. Not sure which way to go over here. But look what happens. You'll see that the story does involve Nebuchadnezzar, involves Daniel, and it has some negative things for Nebuchadnezzar, as you would expect. So the pasuk says, Aleph, Anan Nebuchadnezzar, I Nebuchadnezzar, Shlei Haves Bevesi, I was at peace or at rest in my home. Ve'ra'anan beheichli, and vigorous. Okay, in my domain, in my palace, he was doing fine. Chalem chazeis, I saw a dream. Vidachalinani, and it frightened me. Ve'harhorin al mishkevi, and my thoughts on my bed. And the visions of my head, Yivahalunani, confused me. So I saw I saw a dream, and it frightened me, it scared me, similar to what he had before. The difference over here is going to be that he remembers his dream. Unlike the first time where he couldn't even remember what he dreamt, here he does remember his dream. Umini sim tem lihan ola kadamai, and I made a decree to bring before me L'chol Chakimei Bavel, to all the wise men of Bavel, Tifeshar Chelma Yehoduunani, that they should tell me the interpretation of my dream. Now, if you are Nebuchadnezzar and you have a dream and you don't know what it means, what would you do?
Go to Daniel.
Go to Daniel. Right?
That would seem like.
So that's an obvious problem over here. Why didn't Nebuchadnezzar immediately call Daniel, knowing that Daniel was the dream interpreter expert?
Are we now back to Hebrew?
No.
That's still
Aramaic.
Still Aramaic.
We have a few more chapters of Aramaic.
But this is not talking about the first dream where he called Daniel. This is totally a separate.
Brand new dream. So that's something which we have to discuss. Beidayin, and then Olin Chartumaya, Oshvaya, Kasdae, VeGazraya. They came up these four different types of dream interpreters or sorcerers. V'chelma amar anak alamehon. I told them my dream in front of them. Ufishrei lo mahodinli. And its explanation, they couldn't tell me. They couldn't interpret the dream. Va'ad acharein, and in the end, Al Kadamai Daniel. Daniel came before me. Dishmei Belshazzar, that his name is Belshazzar. Kishum Elohi, which is the name of my God. Remember, that was why he called him Belshazzar. Baal is the name of the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry of Nebuchadnezzar. And Shatzar, it means Chachma, means wisdom. V'diruach Elohim Kadishin Bey, and the one who the spirit of the holy God is in him. That means Hashem. V'chelma Kadamohi Amres. And my dream in front of him, I told. Now, Daniel is going to figure it out and tell him what it means. So our first question is, why didn't he call Daniel before him? The second question is going to be, as we read through this dream, I want you to think about what you think it means and decide whether it's really such a complicated dream to figure out. Because if we sitting around this table can figure it out, then it becomes difficult to understand why the wise men of Babel couldn't figure it out. Yes.
I'm wondering, the wise men before, right, when they couldn't figure it out, he killed them all off.
He started to kill them all off. They weren't all killed when they...
No, but he started to... Like, I would come up with something.
Yeah, okay.
You
okay.
know, because the people that came up with nothing were killed.
Okay.
Started to be.
Okay, so that we can ask that question as well, which, how come over here he didn't threaten them? Over there he threatened them. Here he did not threaten them. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, if you don't tell me, you're all dead. So... Why is it that it just doesn't seem that Nebuchadnezzar is taking this as seriously as the other one? So we have to see about that. But it also becomes difficult why they couldn't figure it out. Let's read along and see what the dream is, and you tell me what you think the interpretation is. Personally, it didn't seem that complicated to me. So let's see. Belshazzar Rav Chartumaya, Belshazzar, the chief wise man of Babel, Diana Yid'eis, that I know, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, that I know, Di Ruach Elokin Kadishin Bach, that the spirit of the holy God is in you, the Choraz Lo'anes Lach, and all secrets are not hidden from you, Chesvei Chelmi Di Chazeis, I will tell you the dream that I saw, Ufishrei Emar, and tell me the explanation, tell me the interpretation. The Chesvei Reishi Al Mishkevi, and the vision of my head upon my bed, Chazei Haves, I was seeing, I was looking. Va'alu ilon bego ara, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the land. Virume sagi, and it was extremely large, very big tree, very tall tree. Riva ilana usikif, the tree grew and was very strong, very, very powerful, very large. Virume yimte lishmaya, and its head reached the heavens. It was a gigantic tree. The Chazosei Lasov called Ara, and it could be seen at the ends of the earth. You could see it everywhere. The tree was so huge. Afye Shapir, its leaves were beautiful. The Inbe Sagi, and its limbs were large. Umazon Lacholave, and food for everyone was in it. It had the means to provide for everybody. Tachosohi, beneath it, Tatleil Chevas Bara, the animals of the field, of the wild, would stroll, would congregate. Uvan Fohi Yiduran Tzipare Shmaya, and in its branches would live the birds of the heavens. Umine Yitzin Kol Bisra, and from it would be sustained all flesh. All creatures were able to live off of this tree. Chazei Haves, I was watching, I was seeing, Bechazvei Reishi Al Mishkavi, in the vision of my head upon my bed, Va'alu Ir V'Kadish Min Shmaya Nachis, and behold, an Ir V'Kadish refers to an angel. An angel, Ir means to destroy, Kadish means holy. Or, another explanation for the word Ir is, what's that?
It says in the benching, it says Ir in Kadishin.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. Same phrase. The other translation of the word Ir, the Rashi says, is awake, animated, fully...
alert.
Alert, right. The Kadish and holy, min Shmaya Nachis, came down from the heavens. So an angel came down, and apparently an angel that he knew was an angel. Karei v'chayil, he called out with strength. V'chein amar, and so he said, go do ilana, cut down the tree, v'katzitzu anfohi, and cut up its branches. Ataru afye uvadaru in bay. Remove its leaves and scatter its fruit. Tenud chevsa min tachtawi, chase away or scatter the beasts, the animals that are underneath it. V'tziparaya min anfohi, and the birds from its branches. So he sees a vision with this gigantic tree, which is this beautiful tree, which is taking care of the entire world. And now he sees this angel come down and destroy it, or command to destroy it. Biram, however, said, this is still the angel talking. Ikar sharshohi, its main roots, bara shivuku, let it remain in the ground. Uve asur difarzel unechash. And chained.
It says with a bond.
With a bond, right? Chained in iron and copper, meaning its roots should stay in the ground, and those roots should be in what are those shackles? In shackles of iron and copper. Bedisa. Bidisa divara, in the grass of the field, uvital shemaya yitzdeva, and in the dew of the heavens it will remain. It will be, you could, yitzdeva literally means it will be washed, which means the dew of the heavens will come down upon it. Vimchevsa chalake ba'asav ara, and with the beasts will be its portion in the grass of the field, which means it will eat the grass.
Mm-hmm. Min anosh. I don't understand. What's going to eat the grass?
Right.
The tree's going to eat the grass?
That's the problem.
Well, it puts it in here as he.
Okay.
He will be washed, and he will share in the grass of the earth.
Okay. So somehow something has happened over here. You don't talk about a tree being in shackles and a tree eating of the grass of the earth. Right? Very strange. Somehow we've shifted in the middle of this dream. We were talking about a tree, and in mid-sentence, because it's really in the middle of the pasuk, we talked about the main roots, and all of a sudden we switched to shackles and eating of grass.
Right.
Very very strange. We keep going. Livivei, I was wondering whether someone would say something now or the next pasuk, but at some point it doesn't make any sense. Okay. Livivei min anasha yeshanun, his heart from man will be changed, will become strange, which means he'll begin acting strangely. Ulevav cheva yisihivle, and the heart of an animal will be given to him. Veshiv'a idonin yachlafun alohi, and 7 time frames, which means 7 years, will pass over him. Bigzeiras irin piskama. This comes from the command of these destroying angels. Umeimar kadishin she'elta, and from the word of these holy angels. The word she'elta means to ask. As Rashi points out, of course, the angels can't make decrees. They get their decree from Hashem, who tells them what to do. Ad divras, until. Well, how long does this go on for? Until the yindu'un chayaya, that the creatures will know, people will know, the world will know, the shalit ila b'malchus anasha, that the above, the heavens, control the malchus, the kingdom of earth. It is the ila, the heavens, the above, meaning Hashem, that controls the kingdom of earth. Ulaman di yitzbe yitnina, and to whomever he, Hashem, he wishes, he with a capital H, whomever he wishes, he will give it to, he will give the kingdom to. Ushval anashim yakim Allah, and the lowest of men he can put in charge of the kingdom of earth.
Mm-hmm.
end of dream. So the dream again is he sees a tree and this beautiful tree and all that, and it's taking care of everybody. Then an angel, he sees an angel come down from heaven, and the angel proclaims the rest of the dream. He doesn't see the rest of the dream happen. He hears the angel proclaiming that this tree will be cut down and totally destroyed, its leaves, its fruit, its branches. However, its roots will remain in the ground, its main roots. And this is still the angel talking. And he, and it's very difficult to understand who's the he over here. We're talking about a tree, and all of a sudden we seem to have switched subjects. And he will be in shackles, and he will be under the dew of the in the grasses and in the dew, and he will eat of the grass of the land. The heart of man will be taken from him, and the heart of an animal will be given to him for 7 years. This comes from the angels. They're going to do this to him until the world knows that the kingdom of earth is controlled by Hashem. Let's read one more pasuk. Tesvav 15. Dina chel malchazis. This is the dream I saw. This is now Nebuchadnezzar talking in real time. So this is the dream I saw. Ana malka Nebuchadnezzar, I the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Va'ant Belshazzar, and you, Belshazzar, meaning Daniel, Pishrei Emar, say its interpretation. Kol Kavel Dichol Chakime Malchusi, as we see, all of the wise people of my kingdom, Lo Yachlin Pishra Lahoda Usani, were not able to tell me its interpretation. Va'ant Kahel, and you are able to. Diruach Elokim Kadishin Bach, for you have the spirit of the holy God in you. So I'm confident that you're able to do it. So tell me what it means. So let's, before we read what Daniel says, what do we think this dream means?
He needs a heel full from power. Nebuchadnezzar is probably the big tree, because you remember he had the statue with copper and near the bottom, so he probably will be removed.
Okay, so you're suggesting the tree is Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody want to suggest differently? Okay.
I think it's about the destruction of the Beit Hamikdash, and that because we're always going to be drenched, we're always going to still be, you know, having the mikvah and being able to be purified, and we're going to be scattered, because they say that everything that's nourished by it is scattered, so the Jewish people are scattered. But even though our roots are unchanged, they remain, we still have the kotel, we still have...
Okay, so there's still something. Okay.
I see it totally differently.
Okay, and what about the shackles and the...
The shackles are our sins. They're okay. The thing that's keeping us from growing.
And right? The heart of an animal?
Because if we weren't heavenly anymore, now we've got sin inside of us.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay, now Daniel is going to say an interpretation closer to Mrs. Starkman's suggestion, but
we like it.
but what Mrs. Lewis just said is equally plausible. That there is a stunning correlation between what happened to us and what is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar over here. That's not coincidental. What you're saying is not what Daniel is going to say, which means it's not accurate, but the fact is, your observation is excellent, because it's true that what is about to happen to Nebuchadnezzar is amazingly similar to what happened to us, or happens to us, which might give us some insight into why it's going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so perhaps it's going to be mida keneged mida, measure for measure, in what Nebuchadnezzar did to the Jews is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. But what is so confusing about the dream? I mean, the wise men of Babel should have been able to say something. Is it what so? You know, when they didn't even know what the dream was, we understand why they couldn't even make a suggestion. How can you even say anything when you have no idea even what he dreamt, let alone what it means? But this isn't so complicated, especially in light of the first dream.
Did everyone know what the meaning of the first dream?
It seems so. It seems that was well public.
If everyone knew the meaning of the first dream, then you would think that his wise men could take that and go with it also.
Right. Right. That's a Jew thing.
But weren't they afraid?
Well, I'd say maybe they did know, and they were afraid to tell him this is you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off with
okay.
Yeah.
So perhaps was that
off with your head?
Right. So perhaps
tell the king that
they didn't want to say anything. Okay. That could very well be. As we're about to see, Daniel himself is going to be afraid.
Yeah.
The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos when it discusses dreams that a dream that is interpreted during the dream is a more powerful dream than a regular dream. Everybody dreams, but people wake up and they want to know what did it mean. It happens. Everybody's had that experience where you wake up and you're disconcerted and you want to know what does it all mean. But it's very rare for people to have a dream where during the dream it gets interpreted, where somebody interprets it in the dream. That's an unusual thing. The Gemara says that that's a more powerful dream, and it means that it is going to happen very quickly. That it's about to happen. It's going to be very quick, very sudden. This is an example of a dream being interpreted within the dream itself. The Malach switched in the middle from talking about the tree to talking about a person. So the tree becomes a person. And clearly the tree being chopped down is analogous to what's going to happen to the person himself. And the interpretation is that he's going to become like an animal. And that's what is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. The wise men of Babel may have been confused. Either they may have been afraid, as a suggestion, which is a very plausible suggestion, or they may have been confused because of the switch in mid-sentence of the dream that may have thrown them off. Are we talking about a tree and a person? Are we talking about a tree that turns into a person? Are we talking about some sort of a person that turned into a tree? It's very difficult to know what happened here in the dream. The flow of the dream, as we noticed as we're reading it, we all jumped on the pasuk right away. What do you mean? We're talking about a tree, and all of a sudden we're switching to shackles and eating. What's happening? So that may have confused them, where they didn't want to make a suggestion for fear of making a gross error, and then, like you said, there could be real consequences. Why did Nebuchadnezzar not call Daniel in the first place and call them first? So the Malbim suggests that the reason why he didn't do it is because he knew that Daniel was in touch with what's going on upstairs. And he knew that if he would have a dream that was coming directly from Hashem, that there would be no one who could get it, or who could understand it but Daniel. He understood that. Only Daniel could possibly understand that which is coming from Hashem. But Nebuchadnezzar was under the impression that this dream was not the same as the first dream. He was under the impression that this dream was not as use the word holy as the first dream. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar still believes in different hierarchies of power, that Hashem is not the sole power in the world. He's the greatest power in the world, but not the sole power of the world. And there are other powers, and dreams could be coming from other sources. And he did not believe that this dream was one that warranted Daniel. The way the Malbim says it is, it's not that he thought that it was overkill to call Daniel. Rather, he thought this wasn't Daniel's area of expertise. Daniel deals with the big stuff. He doesn't deal with the little kinds of dreams that deal with a detail here or there. A dream that would tell me what to have for breakfast. And it's not his domain, and he wouldn't necessarily know what's going on in the little nitty gritty.
It's like beneath his dignity to.
It would be not that he wouldn't even know it. This reflects the Nebuchadnezzar's perception of Hashem, that Hashem deals with the big stuff, but the little nitty gritty, he doesn't care. We all know that when we daven, we can daven for anything, from the most important aspects of our lives to the most mundane, minor details. There's nothing wrong with davening that we should have a successful trip to Kroger's. There's nothing wrong with that. Hashem cares about that too. There's nothing wrong with asking Hashem, I shouldn't get frustrated going to Kroger's today, finding a parking place and getting in and finding what I need and being able to get out and not forgetting something in the store and, you know, getting the sales, right? Right? It's not like, oh, how could you daven? That's a wasted tefillah. It's not a wasted tefillah. You're entitled to daven for anything. Mm-hmm. And Hashem is there to listen. He wants us to daven to Him. He wants us to seek Him out. It's a mitzvah to ask Hashem for things. That's what we believe. But Nebuchadnezzar is still under the impression that Hashem is, even though he has been forced to be shown that Hashem is totally in control, but he still believes that Hashem is dealing with the big stuff, the global, universal stuff of, you know, making the sun and the moon and the big things about which kingdoms are going to be in control and when. But the little nitty gritty stuff, that's not where Hashem is. What he realizes when the wise men of Babel can't figure this out, that he starts to realize this dream might actually be a big deal dream. This might not be such a small thing. And that's why he calls Daniel.
Yeah. I'm wondering why he couldn't interpret the dream himself. I'm thinking with the ego he had, if he's dreaming that there's something big and beautiful, right? He's probably thinking it's him. So why does he even bother asking anybody?
I would imagine that he doesn't want to know the consequence of this being him. Cutting down the tree is not something he wants to think about. Right? And something
but it
about
says here, why does he thing, it says that he, the reason that he is like telling Danielle how wonderful he is because he knows that it's a portent of evil. So he really knows it. But
he figures it out as he's going along. It's because they can't interpret it that he starts to realize, you know, this is dawning on him slowly.
So if those necromancers and magicians knew Jewishly that if you interpret a dream for the good,
they all believed in interpreting dreams. I mean, this was big business back in those days.
But why did they interpret it for the good? I mean, even lie. You know, he's going. He can't do anything about it when he's on the way out, you know.
Well, it doesn't. Well, as we're going to see, it doesn't mean he's on the way out.
This is what, no, but I mean, why didn't they lie and just say, "Oh, it means that you are such a wonderful king that you could do
all of this"?
But there's going to be people who will try to come and cut you down, and watch out for that, or something.
He didn't threaten them. He didn't threaten them. By the way, are you applying for a job?
I'm just saying. You know, these people don't seem so truthful to begin with. Why aren't they lying for their own sake?
They were not fakes. They knew how to interpret dreams. They just didn't know how to do the first one, which they didn't even know what the dream was. But they knew how to interpret dreams. These are not charlatans. They are able to. This is a real business. There was real black magic. There was real sorcery. There was real stuff going on. But they weren't able to do the first one. Now I suspect that the reason why he didn't threaten them is because he didn't want them to make up a story. That's exactly that. He wasn't looking for a made up story. He wanted to know the truth, so he didn't threaten them. Because if you threaten, of course they're going to do exactly what you said. They're going to see with the dream that they couldn't. He didn't tell them what the dream was, so they can't make anything up. Because if it doesn't ring with the truth to him, if it doesn't remind him of what he dreamt, it's off with their heads. So that's really taking a chance for them to suggest anything. But over here, he knows the dream, they know the dream, so make up a story. So it's likely that he doesn't want to put them in a corner where they're going to make up a story.
It's interesting the way it's worded in the English.
Yeah.
But it says, I related the dream before them, but its interpretation they did not make known to me. Which could suggest that they
knew something but didn't want to say. That's possible. That is possible. That's a pretty accurate translation. So let's read a little bit further. We're not going to have time, of course, to finish the parak, but let's read a little further. Tezayin, verse 16. Edayin Daniel dishmei Belshazzar. Then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, eshtomam kisha chada. He was quiet for one moment. So Daniel didn't say anything. Virayon nohi yivahalune, and his thoughts confused him. Meaning, it's not that Daniel didn't know; he knew, but he didn't want to say. Ane malkav amar, the king Nebuchadnezzar called out and said, Belshazzar, Daniel, Chelma ufishrei Ami Bahalach. The dream and its interpretation, don't let it confuse you. Don't let it bother you. In other words, speak your mind. Don't hold back. So he was telling him, he was essentially guaranteeing him, I'm not gonna harm you. I'm not gonna harm the messenger. I understand that this is not from you. Anei Belshazzar ve'amar. Now here we're gonna have a tricky thing Daniel is going to do. It's tricky in the sense that it's difficult to do. Belshazzar called out and said, Mari, my master, Chelma l'san'ach, the dream should go to your enemy, ufishrei li'arach, and its interpretation should go on the one who wants to destroy you. Hmm. Now that's what you say to a king. That is the proper thing to say to a king. You say to a king, when there's something wrong that's going on, let's say a king is going through some sort of difficulty or tzara. You say, oh king, may your tzaros go on your enemies. Mm. You know, that's right? The king is, having financial trouble, his banks are failing. You say, oh king, may the banks fail of the enemy force. You know, something like that. That's what you would say if, you know, it's a way of expressing your loyalty to the king. So Daniel does that over here. But that's a tricky thing because Daniel can't really say that. Because the enemy of Nebuchadnezzar is the Jews. And so Daniel certainly doesn't want to utter a curse against the Jewish people. And so the Gemara explains that what Daniel is doing over here is he lifted his eyes up to heaven and he said, Mari, my master. He wasn't referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Oh. He was referring to Hashem. And he said, may this dream go on your enemy and its interpretation on the one who wants to destroy you, meaning, may this dream go on Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was saying, may this dream go on Nebuchadnezzar's enemies. This is the second time we've had Daniel do this. Remember that Daniel is, even with all of his greatness and all his rise to power and being second in command or being so high up in the government, he's still a subject of Nebuchadnezzar. The Jews are still in Golus. At his whim, Nebuchadnezzar could start killing Jews. He could start hurting Jews. He could really cause a lot of trouble. Daniel has to be careful, and he has to tread carefully. This is one of the recurring. It's not a theme, but it's a recurring
concern or
action that we find with Daniel, that he has the finesse to tiptoe around these issues and be able to appear completely loyal to the non-Jewish king, but really be completely loyal to the Jewish people and to Hashem. And this is the second time we've seen it, or he's done this, and this is not the last time. We won't see it again with Nebuchadnezzar, but we will see that Daniel manages to say the right thing in the right way, or do the right thing in the right way, that will maintain the loyalty, but at the same time not really be that loyal, because he can't be. He can't be that loyal. His true loyalty is to Hashem. And now Daniel begins with the actual interpretation of the dream. Okay, we have enough time, I think, to go through the interpretation. There's going to be a result of the interpretation, that we're certainly not going to have time to do, but at least the interpretation we'll try for tonight. Yud Zayin 17. Ilana di Chazaisa, the tree that you saw, di Reva Usekif, which was large and strong, Virumeyim Te Lishmaya, and its height went up to the heavens, Vachazose Lechol Ara, and its appearance was to the whole land. You could see it from everywhere. And its leaves were beautiful, and its branches, and its fruit, excuse me, were many. That must mean its branches were beautiful, and its fruit was many. Umazon lechola bay, and there was enough sustenance for everyone in it. Tachosoi tidur chemas bara, under it would live all the beasts of the field. Uvi infohi ishkinon tipare shmaya, and in its branches would nest or live the birds of the heavens. All that. Antu Malka di Rivas Uskeft. You, it is you, the king, who has become large and strong. Uravusach revas umetas l'shmaya. And your grandeur has gotten much and has gone up to the heavens. V'shaltanach l'sof ara, and your kingdom is to the edges of the earth. So the tree is you. V'dichaza malka, and that which the king saw. Ir v'kadish, this destruction and holy angel, destructive and holy angel. Nachis min Shemaya, come down from heaven. V'amar, and say, go do ilana, cut down the tree, v'chablohi, and destroy it. Biram ikar shar shohi ba'ara shivuku. However, its main roots you should leave in the ground. Uve esur di farzel nechash, and in shackles of iron and of copper. Bidisa divara, in the field, in the grasses of the field. Uve tal shemaya yitzteba, and in the dew of the heavens he will be washed. And with the beasts of the field will be his portion. Adi shiva idonim yachlafun alawi, until 7 time frames, 7 years have passed over him. Zina fishra malka. This is its interpretation, king. Ugzeras ilahi. It is the gzera of above. It is the decree from above. Dimetas amari malka, that is coming on my master, the king. Vilach tardin min anasha, and you will be. This is a hard word to translate. You will be not chased away, but
they will drive you.
Drive you, okay, from mankind, from man.
Who will drive
you? They, man, will drive you away.
Oh.
And with the beasts of the field will be your living quarters. And grass like oxen for you will taste. In other words, you will eat grass like oxen eat grass. That will be your food that you will taste. You will want it. Umital shmaya lach mitzabin, and from the dew of the heavens you will wash like an animal. V'shiva idonin yachlefun alach, and 7 years will pass over you. Adi sinda, until you know di shalit ilah b'malchus anasha, that the above Hashem controls the kingdom of man. Ulaman di yitzvei yitnina, and to the one who, to whom he wishes, he will give it. V'di amaru, but that which they said, lemishbak ikar shar shohi di ilana, to leave the main roots of the tree, that which is not to uproot those main roots, that means, malchusach lach kayama, your kingdom for you is established, which means it's not going to go to somebody else. After 7 years, your kingdom will still be there for you to return to it. Min di sinda, once you know, di shaltin shemaya, that the heavens rule. Okay. Now Daniel is going to make a suggestion for Nebuchadnezzar. So, again, what is the interpretation? That Nebuchadnezzar is going to go through a period, I guess we would call it, for lack of a better word, insanity. He's going to go through a period of insanity where he is going to become like an animal. Now, the Malbim says, the way the Malbim explains it, and we have the facts that are in the Pasuk, and then there is what's between the lines. The facts between that are in the Pasuk is that he is going to become like an animal. The heart of man will be taken away from him. He'll get the heart of an animal. He'll be driven away from man. He will eat grass like an animal, and he will be living in the fields. The way the Malbim says it is that he will lose his mind and want to be like an animal. They will shackle him to keep him from running out into the field. But at some point or other, they will realize there's no way to stop him. He really wants to eat grass, and this insanity is not going away. And eventually they will turn him loose, and he will run out to the field. And as we'll see later, he will actually start to appear like an animal. His hair will grow. His nails will grow. He will begin to look like an animal. He will actually eat grass. And he will actually behave like an animal for 7 years. However, the silver lining is that the kingdom will not go to somebody else. Daniel doesn't explain how that will happen, why the kingdom will be preserved for him, because you would think if the king goes insane, you find someone else as the king, but the kingdom will remain for him. And not only that, but after 7 years, when he regains his mind, they will take him back. They will allow him to become the king again. That it won't be that he'll come back and they'll say, oh, you're no longer king. No, he will regain his throne after 7 years. Yeah.
Is it a punishment for him?
So that is the question over here. Why is it going to happen? So one possibility is that it is a punishment. Because as Mrs. Lewis said, this would be mimicking what happened to the Beis HaMikdash. That it was destroyed and that we Jewish people were turned out. And we now we lost our hearts, our human hearts, meaning the hearts of the Jewish
and
people.
The Beis Hamikdash was just come back after 70 years.
70 years.
He's going to be mad,
right?
For 7 years.
Right. Right.
Like a
right. Rashi does suggest the reason why it's 7 years is because it took Shlomo HaMelech 7 years to build the Beis Hamikdash. Mm. I thought what you said, that seven is like 70.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 year for every 10. But Rashi suggests that perhaps it is because of the fact that it took 7 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he destroyed it, so he gets this for 7 years.
Is there any interpretation they used the iron and the copper and then on the first dream?
That's very interesting.
Very precious. And
that's very interesting. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question. That's a good observation. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it's just that they're the strongest types of shackles. Mm-hmm. But you might be right. There might be some connection to that first dream. I don't know.
Is there anything that he was able to talk to the animals and now that he becomes an animal himself?
Well, if he becomes an animal, you would think that it's complete.
Right.
That's what you would
think.
He's no longer able to talk to people.
Right.
During those 7 years.
Yeah.
So that's possible. It seems that he completely becomes an animal.
Uh-huh.
That's what it seems like.
It seemed like after hearing this interpretation that he would say, oh God, I know you were in charge of me, I erred and whatever, and not want to go through it. And how does acting and behaving like an animal get you to know that there's one true God? It seems like it's going in the opposite direction.
Well, it's showing not the one. It's showing that Hashem completely controls everything. You can reach the pinnacle of power in this world, where every single human being is under your control, and in the blink of an eye, Hashem can totally turn things around.
During those 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar can't realize that.
Well, I'm not sure. It seems that there is some cognizance of what's going on. You're right. There's some lack of it because he's going insane, but there is apparently some cognizance. The fact that he's being told, told about it up front means there's some cognizance to it.
Yeah, and he was told up front in the last dream that his kingdom would be gone,
I know,
or whatever, and
I know,
he didn't get that.
I know. Daniel is going to make a suggestion over here for Nebuchadnezzar. He's not just going to say this. He is going to make a suggestion to him to try to prevent it from happening. As we'll see. Unfortunately, we don't have time this evening to go into it. But Mitzvah Hashem, next time we learn, we will see Daniel is going to make a suggestion and Nebuchadnezzar is going to attempt to keep it. And we'll see what happens.
Is this giving him a chance to tshuva like Nineveh?
Well, that's what I mean. Daniel is going to make a suggestion. So it does seem that there is some element of tshuva here.
But Hashem used Nebuchadnezzar. Hashem built up. You said Babel was nothing. Hashem built up Babel to be a very powerful nation. And those who come to afflict Israel
is
not just some rinky dinky little nothing.
Right.
So now he's being punished for it.
So the non-Jews who are used to punish us, if they are only doing exactly what Hashem says, then they, if they're only doing it because Hashem said to do it, then they won't be punished for it.
But
the cruelty and the motivation is never only for that.
It's just a dream, but in other words, how long are the Jewish people in Babylon? I mean,
at this point, they're there a number of years. It's not clear. From the beginning, we said we don't know exactly what year this happened. Okay, so we will stop here with Pasuk. We're up to Pasuk Chavdal 24.